Welcome to another episode of High Velocity Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and we have a great Dunwoody Chambers special for you. And in the studio with me, I have Miss Debbie Fuse, as usual. Welcome, Debbie.
Good morning, Kevin.
How are you doing? I hear you just got back from vacation.
I did. It was great. So I'm doing really good. A little confused and baffled yet this morning, but overall, going great.
Sounds great. Where'd you end up going?
Actually, believe it or not, I'm from the Midwest, so we went back to St. Louis, spent some time in St. Louis, visited family, of course, visited some good friends, and went to Arkansas.
Ah, that must have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, just kind of hung around some lakes and stuff and then
came back.
Had to
relax, had some cocktails, and just,
Get a chill sometime.
Definitely. Well, we have a great show today. You brought two of your chamber members here, two great ones. We got Alan Mothner with the Dunwoody Nature Center. We also have Bill Kinsey with Sproul Center for the Arts. I didn't butcher either of your names, did you? I normally do at least once a show.
Yeah, so. You covered that. You butchered Bob's.
All right, I did. How do you pronounce that, Bob?
Bob.
Okay, all right, there we go.
Bob Kinsey.
Kinsey, all right, there we go.
No Bills here.
Well, we're going to just start with Alan. And Alan, tell us a little bit about Dunwoody Nature Center.
Sure, we are a nonprofit based right here in Dunwoody. We operate out of 22 acres out of Dunwoody Park, and we focus primarily on environmental education.
Okay. You guys have been here for quite a while, right? Around 20 years, right?
That's right. We celebrated our 20th anniversary last year. So we've been here for a long time. We have a nice loyal following within the city and are starting recently to expand beyond that, to go throughout Metro Atlanta and the state, and things are going well.
Okay. Did you start out as a nonprofit, or did you guys grow into that? Where was that decision made?
Sure. Well, when we were first conceived in 1990 by our founders, and they were actually honored last week at the 4th of July parade. Our original founding mothers were the grand marshals of the DHA 4th of July parade last week, so that was quite an honor for us as well. But when we were founded, we focused primarily on environmental education, as I mentioned, and formed the nonprofit in order to do that. Our mission has changed slightly over the years, but it's always been centered around a common theme that is to inspire the love of nature and cultivate environmental understanding and stewardship.
Okay, well, I have to think the summertime's a huge time for you guys with all the kids out of school. Do you guys run any summer camp programs for the kids? Or?
Yeah, we're up to our eyeballs in kids this summer, which is great. Summer's a great time, not only for the kids, but for adults, too, to come out to the park. The park is just flourishing this summer. The rain has certainly helped in that respect. But we have about 60 kids a day in various camp programs. Plus, with time off, we have lots of people that just come to the park day in and day out to take walks, to bring the dogs, to go for jogs, whatever it might be.
So these kids, I want to get back to the kids, but it's really important at a young age to get this kind of information and education about nature, and it's really not out there with all the video games and internet. What kind of things do you do for these kids to get them interested in nature?
Sure, good question. Well, I mean, children are just innately interested in nature. They don't always have an opportunity to explore it, and that's what we offer. I mean, we are a 22-acre park. We're frequently referred to as an oasis in the city. It's a nice, safe place. It's well-kept. The kids can come and explore. The biggest feature of the park is Wildcat Creek, which is a pretty slow-flowing creek, but lots of nice water features, rocks. Kids come and find crawfish and salamanders and water striders and tadpoles and snakes and, just about everything that they can do. So usually they leave with wet clothes and a happy smile.
I like that. And I bet the parents like that, too. They probably come back exhausted.
The experienced parents bring towels. Yeah, they come home. The kids all sleep well. We guarantee a good night's sleep for all our campers. They come home. They're outside, pretty much all day long. Even in inclement weather like we've had, it doesn't stop the kids. I came into work last week, and it was pouring rain, and all the kids were outside playing a game. It's just what they enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that. Do you guys have any volunteer opportunities over there at the Nature Center? Because it's a lot of land, probably a lot of stuff you have to get done there. Do people volunteer or different groups?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have a huge, we're a small staff of three and a board of about 20. So most of what we accomplish over there is through our volunteers. We have volunteers do everything from maintain the grounds to help us with programs. For youth volunteers, for example, this week we have junior counselors that are helping us with camps. We frequently partner, with Debbie in the chamber and different corporate groups to help us accomplish things. Like in the past year, We have, you know, had UPS come out and paint our building. Mm-hmm. We've had NCR and Georgia Natural Gas come clear trails. We've had Doosan, Georgia Development Partners, help work with us in our rain garden. Old Castle's built a retaining wall. I mean, it's almost limitless the number of things we can do with the volunteer help.
Well, Dunwoody's really good for that. The whole community really likes to help out everyone in the community, I've realized, which is really a nice aspect.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing that I really love about the Nature Center is just it's sort of that central gathering place. It's a home for not only kids that are coming to camp, but for gardeners, for volunteers, individuals, and corporations, for people that are just out for a stroll, for adults that want to learn more. We offer lots of adult programming
as well.
Sure, yeah, we offer everything from gardening classes and photography classes to, you know, composting and just about everything in between. And if you're not interested in learning and just want to enjoy the center, we also run a concert series throughout the summer, which we just wrapped up, and we'll be starting again in the fall.
All right, yeah. Talk a little bit about the events that you guys. I know you guys have a lot of events there. Do you guys run any fundraisers, or how do you guys raise money?
Yeah, good question. We raise money in two ways. Half of it comes from our own programming. Mm-hmm. So our camps, our classes are also revenue generators for us and help support our mission. The other half comes from individual members, from corporate sponsors, and also from individual donors. It's about a 50-50 split with our operating budget between programs and what we'll call fundraising. Then we also have our biggest fundraiser of the year is Monarchs and Margaritas, which is hosted in April. We just finished that, and we had just a great turnout. And both of our other guests here were part of that, too.
Okay,
so we appreciate
they might have
that.
To talk about that and see how they thought it was. Do you guys have any events coming up? Or?
Yeah, we do. We have our biggest event of the year is coming up on August 17th. That's our Butterfly Festival. That is a full day in the park. We'll open gates at 9 o'clock. That's sort of one of the member benefits. We'll open specifically for members from 9 to 10 and give them a little sneak peek and then open from 10 to 4. The highlight of the festival, besides games, crafts, you know, concessions, everything you can imagine, we'll have, in years past, we've had one butterfly tent, a 20 by 20 tent filled with hundreds of butterflies
wow.
and plants. It's amazing. With the turnout that we had last year and the expected turnout this year, and happy to announce it on your show, we'll actually be having two tents this year.
Oh, man, that sounds magical.
It should be great. We should be able to accommodate twice as many folks through the tents. They should get a little bit more time in there, and it shouldn't be quite as crowded. I mean, that's the big reason that people come out, is to just experience that, and we're all about experiences at the Nature Center.
Okay, and it doesn't cost anything to come to just hang out at the Nature Center, does it? To take
nope.
walks and everything?
Nope.
It's completely free?
It is a city park, so you are welcome to come by anytime. We've got all sorts of things to do, from scavenger hunts for birds and invertebrates to geocaching. We've got just swings you can hang out in. We've got a treehouse overlooking our wetlands you can just observe. Or you can just come take a hike or play in the creek.
So it sounds like you got something for everybody.
We're trying.
Debbie, this has got to be great for people living in Dunwoody.
You know, it's a fabulous place for everyone to go to. And I know I've taken my grandson over there, and he has absolutely loved it as well. So, and he's right. Everybody likes to get wet. Take towels.
Exactly. All right, Alan, who's your ideal person you want? Do you guys want anyone coming to the Dunwoody Nature Center?
Sure. I mean,
who's your ideal client?
It's funny that you asked that. We have two different types of people that come there. We mm-hmm. have those that don't really get out very much that will come. You know, we have lots of business people that will come just for lunch. You know, we have picnic tables in a shaded setting, so they'll come and have lunch and just relax. You know, again, mm-hmm. I mentioned the Oasis. It's just a place to relax. And then we've got our regulars. We've got our regular dog walkers in the morning that are there at 7 when I get into work that I see every day. And when I leave in the afternoon, you know, they're walking their dogs. We have families that come on the weekends to come and explore. And then we have different program participants. We've got, you know, scouts that use it for meetings and for different programs that they're doing. Fall and spring are obviously really busy with field trips. We serve schools from throughout the state, from as far away last year as Carrollton and Augusta. And Jasper. So, you know, we've got a little bit of something for everybody, like you mentioned.
Okay. What does the future hold for Dunwoody Nature Center? Do you guys have some future plans planned out for things for years to come?
Yeah, absolutely. We this year we were lucky enough to be awarded a grant through our city where we're actually able to physically expand. Our biggest hang-up that we've had is we're just running out of space to accommodate so many people that want to participate in our programs. So this year we'll all be about expansions. We'll be adding a lecture space and sunroom off the back, and also add a viewing deck where you can see the newly restored meadow that we did last year. We'll also be redoing our front entry to make it ADA compliant, which is something we sorely needed to do. Mm-hmm. And also give it just a little bit better facade, so that first appearance is more reflective of what Dunwoody's all about.
Awesome. How has being a member of the chamber really helped you out in all these aspects?
You know, the chamber's great for us in several respects. Really, where our connection lies for us is in volunteerism. We've got so many different connections. You mentioned the Butterfly Festival. Mm-hmm, the chamber was instrumental for us, not only in their members volunteering, but in helping spread the word about the Butterfly Festival to their employees and to the other businesses. And several of the chamber members are also sponsors of ours.
Okay.
So financially, they support us. You know, physically, they
That's
support
so
us. It's just a perfect relationship for us.
Awesome. Well, how can people reach out and sign up for these different programs?
The best way to get in touch with us is through our website, which is dunwoodynature.org. And on our website, we'll keep you up to date, most importantly, with what's going on at the center and what classes, programs, et cetera, that we have. And through our website, too, you can sign up for our newsletter. We have a database of about 45 to 5,000 folks. They get our monthly newsletter. They can find out what's happening and, what's going on. It's like you mentioned in terms of community. It's one of those great community.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on.
My pleasure. Thanks
for having
me. How
about you hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, next up on High Velocity Radio, we have Bob Kinsey with Sproul Center for the Arts. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about the center.
Well, the center is 38 years old this year, started with a handful of people in the basement of Dunwoody United Methodist Church, some people who were desperate, anxious, really hungry for art classes.
Definitely.
And so some wonderful folks in Dunwoody, primarily Geraldine Jerry Sproul, was a founder of the Art Center. And worked closely with the center and sadly passed away a few years ago, but really helped guide and promote the center. And it's grown over the years to where we have thousands and thousands of students a year taking visual art classes, some performing classes. And we've moved a few times here and there around Dunwoody, but now we have an education center in about 11,000 square feet of leased space. We lease from the city of Dunwoody in the North DeKalb Cultural Center. It's adjacent to the Dunwoody Library. It's in that same complex.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And close by the Dunwoody Nature Center, which also years ago used to be one of our homes back in the old days, as they say.
That's right.
Before we moved. And we also were very fortunate in the early 90s that the Sproul family donated their historic home place and about 5 1/4 acres on Ashford Dunwoody Road. And that is now the home of the Sproul Gallery, where we do professional artist exhibitions.
Okay, so. And you guys deal with all ranges of ages, right? From
Yes, we have currently it's from about 4 years old to no upper limit, as they say.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. We have probably about 80% of our classes and workshops are actually adult courses, but we do have a lot of programming for kids. And as Alan mentioned, summer is summer camp time, and we are there every day listening to the pitter pat of lots of little feet. So we have about 80 kids on average every week. We have an 11-week program in the summer. Mm-hmm. This year it runs through August 9th. And we offer primarily visual arts camps for all those ages 5 through 14. But we do offer performing camps also.
Okay, so they like acting do and
acting, singing, dancing. We have actually our camp split into two levels. One is 5 to 10-year-olds, mm-hmm. which is sort of a traditional camp phase. And then we have what we call specialty camp, which is for ages 11 through 14, and they get a little bit higher level programming, mm-hmm. if you will, fashion design, jewelry making, videography, all sorts of things on the higher level. And in the performing realm, they may do improv. They may do some other things in the 11 to 14 age range. So it's a pretty exciting array of camps.
It sounds like, and I feel like you're really filling a gap there for those kids. It seems like our education system, at least I feel this way, they're cutting the arts programs and they're thinking they're not as important and they're throwing in other stuff in there. So
exactly, and we do pick up a lot of people who, because parents and kids both feel the importance of art and the arts across all the spectrum, and they will search us out. So it's a sad thing that schools and some other programs are cutting back, but it does kind of lead to us attracting new audiences.
Well, it does sound like Dunwoody has some great summer camp programs between both of you. The kids could do both of them throughout the whole summer.
Well, we get a lot of people inquiring. I don't know about Alan. I suspect it's about the same because we do different themes on different weeks, and so parents will come in, oh, I'd really like to do this, you know, but no, the kid's going to be at Dunwoody Nature Center that week in camp. So
that sounds like a good problem to have between both of you guys.
Absolutely. We get the same thing with Sproul. We're like, oh, we're going to sign up for that, but we're at Sproul that week.
Yeah, and you know, the competitive nature in me is like, no, I want all kids every week. But I think it's a really wonderful experience for kids.
Definitely.
I mean, to have both the nature center experience in the summer and the arts is wonderful.
Definitely. Can you expand sort of into some of the kind of arts that you do, not just for the kids, for adults, what kind of art programs they can do?
Sure. We offer just about every discipline you can imagine, from painting and drawing, a lot of the traditional things. Our two largest disciplines currently, and they sort of vie with each other for enrollment, are jewelry and metalsmithing.
Oh, wow.
It's a huge part, very popular program, and then also ceramics and pottery.
Okay, those are both
very
cool.
So those are the two giant, people are kind of fanatical students. They, you know, we have open studio and things for people taking classes there, and they'll say, well, what do you mean the building's going to be closed on Christmas Day or New Year's Day? I got to throw some pots, you know. I want to – exactly. So, yeah, they're happily fanatic about things. We've got a lot of students who have taken courses there for – 10, 20 years. We have a few instructors who've taught there for more than 20 years. So it's a really neat group. And other disciplines include metal sculpture, mosaics, a lot of work with glass, fusing, slumping. Again, some of that gets into jewelry.
Definitely.
Photography, both film-based and digital.
Okay, do you guys have dark rooms?
We do have dark rooms. It's amazing. The you know, although working with film and darkroom practices have shrunk a lot as more and more people adopt digital, there is a hardcore, particularly in the arts, group that really, really wants to work with film preserve that. And we've been very fortunate to kind of inherit, if you will, for our darkroom program, for instance, a few years ago, the Art Institute of Atlanta.
Okay, where I graduated from.
Yeah, right around the corner. And they had magnificent darkroom equipment, enlargers, just fantastic state-of-the-art equipment. And they decided to go digital and create some other space. And they donated about 10 complete state-of-the-art, very expensive stations to us.
That's awesome.
For darkroom. And so it continues, and we'll see where it goes. I think that certainly for
I think
years ahead, there'll be
I used to do it in high school, and I just remember the smell of the chemicals and having to get that film in the roller where you can't see. That was addicting to me. So
yeah, well, you can get a good buzz from some of those chemicals. So, but
maybe that's what it is. So do you have any introductory level classes? You have such cool material, but some people that want to get into metalworking or jewelry making.
Thank you so much for that question, because one of the things we face is people assuming, you really have to have talent and you really have to have experience to go take courses at the Sproul Center. And virtually every discipline we offer, we have introductory beginning courses. And we feel that's very important. We want to be there to serve the community. We don't want people to feel like they're intimidated to come take some things. So, we emphasize that. And then that does sort of feed the pipeline for more advanced courses and high-end workshops We do a lot where we bring people in from around the country or even from other countries to teach specific high-end workshops. And so with cultural tourism to Dunwoody, we do a lot with that, and we bring these people in. They stay in area hotels. A lot of these well-known artist instructors have followers, and those people travel also here to take the workshops that are given at Sproul. So there's that element. So we cover everything from beginning through very accomplished high-end.
Do any companies or anything hire you guys out to teach classes to some of their people for team working kind of events?
We do, yeah. Not so much classes as typically one-day workshops.
Okay.
And we've had a fair number of corporations do that, whether it's a bonding sort of exercise or just a social thing. Sometimes it's to get at specific techniques of doing things or open creativity and that kind of thing. And typically they will come and we always want them to have a great time. And typically they will leave with something they've created also, whether it's something they take home to their kids or
that's always exciting.
Goes to their office and reminds them of the great team building exercise. So, yeah, we do that regularly.
And also, do you guys do any kind of date kind of things, like a Sips and Strokes where someone can bring their date or?
Well, we have done some of that. In fact, we used to, like on Friday evenings, teach dance classes and different things like that. And that sort of faded away for whatever reasons. But we have done more of that type. We started offering it in the summer.
Okay.
And for fall quarter, which we're finalizing this week, all of our programming, we've created about 40 new, exciting, more brief-type courses. Because one of the things we've found in surveying our audience is that people aren't always, particularly in today's fast-paced, crazy world, feeling able to commit to, say, 10 weeks
Definitely.
Of meeting for a class on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just doesn't work. So the one day, yeah, I'll spend half a day Saturday and I want to learn how to do this and walk away with that and I'll make a pair of earrings and go home. And then that does get people sort of hooked, if you will, to where they do want to take the longer courses and
Definitely.
Hone their skills. So, but we're trying more and more to do the briefer, even date night, bring your friends or bring your significant other.
Well, it sounds like you guys sort of adapted the old model of how these art centers used to be into a newer model, and I have to think maybe the economy maybe affected that a little bit or just to adapt?
Yes. Well, yes and no. I think, sadly, back in the depths of the economic problem, people lost jobs, so they had lots of time on their hand. They just didn't have the money to do,
exactly.
You know, and sadly, the arts sometimes are the first thing to take the
We've
hit.
Seen it throughout history, so.
Although, you know, it also works the other way. We've had a lot of our people came in during the really tough times and said, you know, this is the last thing that's going to go because this gets me through.
Yeah, this gets
this
me through
is
the
next so
day.
Important in my life.
My passion.
Exactly. So this will be the last thing to go. And
well,
they
definitely.
Stuck it out.
Well, I love to see that Dunwoody really is around arts and nature and they're really committed about that. But you don't see that sort of in Atlanta, really, where I live. So I love that.
Yeah, and we're we've had very good success working with the city of Dunwoody since it was created, and they don't give grants to art organizations or nonprofits
mm-hmm.
per se yet, maybe one day.
Maybe.
But they give us a terrific deal on rent. They take
That's awesome.
Extremely good care of the facility that we lease from them. So they are doing an awful lot in a great way to help the arts. And as Alan referenced just a little bit, this year they set aside money to give grants that actually help on capital repairs or issues or investment in their facilities, but we are in their facilities, so
mm-hmm.
it is a direct help to the organizations. Yes, yeah, so we're very grateful for that participation that the city of Dunwoody has added in.
Definitely. And how has being a member of the chamber really helped you out, and what benefits have you seen from that?
Well, I'd kind of echo what Alan said. The group over there at the chamber has just been wonderful. They're so responsive, and they do so many wonderful things. The networking, the way that they get word out to help support our organizations is really great. The members, you go to their events and you talk with the members from around Dunwoody, and they're such a good group and positive, and they do want to find ways to help. So it's been a great thing to be a part of.
I love it. Well, Bob, how do people reach out and sign up for these classes?
Well, again, I kind of sound like Alan Jr., but but the key for us really is the website, because it's got everything you ever wanted to know and probably more about the Sproul Center, and the website is sproularts.org.
How do you spell Sproul?
S-P-R-U-I-L-L-A-R-T-S.org. And that lists all the classes. Fall courses will be going online on the 17th, Wednesday of next week.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Debbie, you just have to be so proud. This must make your job easy, having members like this.
It does. It makes it a lot of fun. And I have to tell you, one of the best-kept secrets is the gallery, to go shopping for those people out there that are looking for, like, really unique gifts.
Oh,
because
imagine.
All the artists bring things in, and they sell things at the gallery over on Ashford-Dunwoody Road. And it's one of my favorite places to go at Christmas, to go shopping.
Definitely. It sounds awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, the from mid-November through Christmas Eve, the entire gallery gets converted to an artist market. We have artist-made goods, unique gifts, great price points, representing about 100 different artists, most local. Some are more regional, but thank you, Debbie.
And I can buy one-of-a-kind gifts that way.
That's
a lot
exactly.
of fun.
You can't beat that right there. It's hard
That's
to
right.
find those kind of gifts.
It is, too. And at a price point that you can do.
And it won't say made in China.
That's so. Right. Love that, too, let me tell you. So, yeah, it's great, because we're looking forward to the Butterfly Festival. We're putting together teams of people now to help go volunteer for the day. And we've done that every year, I think, for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, the Chamber's been effective. We're going into our fifth year right now, and we've done it every year.
Yep.
So
okay.
it's been a great event for us, something that we do. And I know I think we've got the Sproul Gallery booked for the Christmas event mm-hmm. for the Chamber as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have really great partnerships that we work with, all of these guys all the time, and try to do everything we can to kind of help pull together some teams for them as things are needed, and they do the same for us, because we always need people too.
Well, it seems like you guys have fun with it too, which is
we
really
do.
Important. So
that's what makes it important.
Exactly.
I mean, and it's great that they're able to offer all the different things out for our businesses as well. There's a lot of great programs that they do, and a lot of good things that they do with our businesses and their children. So that's important, because it helps keep our community active and alive.
Definitely. Well, does the Chamber have any events coming up soon?
You know, we always have something going on, and I have to tell you, just from having been out for the last couple of weeks, I'm kind of not positive of everything I've got this coming week, but I do know that I have a Young Professionals Team event Wednesday, I believe. Go to our website, take a look. It's dunwoodycommerce.org, and our calendar of events is up there all the time. But I have to tell you, one of the things that we just completed, and we're getting ready to do our second one, is Dunwoody at Dusk.
Okay.
And Dunwoody at Dusk, we did the first one at Park Place, and we did that about two weeks ago. We're going to be doing one on July 19th at Georgetown Shopping Center. And the whole concept behind that is to bring people to the different shopping centers to get familiar with what's going on in each of those centers, in each of those areas. And we play a little music throughout the evening, and everybody runs some specials, and we're running summer specials ongoing for them.
Well, I think that's a really cool event, because once you start living in an area for a while, you get stuck in your pattern and the places that you go, and you sort of have blinders on, and you don't realize something. You might go by a few months, and you're like, oh, there's a new restaurant. So
exactly.
it's a cool little event. People should show up.
It's a neat way to get people re-familiarized with some of the areas, because they don't – you're right. We all get in a habit. We go to one place. We mm-hmm. don't go to the others. And there's been a lot of things that have been going on. Park Place has had several new businesses go in, which we were able to highlight during that event. And now Georgetown has had probably 4 new places go in up there. And it's great for the businesses to get active and to be seen differently from what they may have been over the last little while.
All right.
So we'll see.
Good stuff. Well, this is Kevin Finn for everyone here at the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you next week on High Velocity Radio.